Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, thank you very much for inviting me to join you by means of this video address on the occasion of the 7th McGill Global Food Security Conference. Since 2008 and the first conference that you hosted on the issue of food security, many interesting and important developments have occurred, and a number of them have also been both amplified and brought into the international policy arena through the kind of dialogue that you host at McGill University. Therefore, for me as the Executive Director of the United Nations Environment Programme, it's both a pleasure and a privilege to join you, at least by means of this address, to connect with the work that you're doing and ultimately to also invite you to look at the United Nations Environment Programme and the broader United Nations family as at least one important platform on which to take the latest science and also some of the emerging policy options for addressing the challenge of global food security through the initiatives that we can bring to countries in terms of a global framework, but also to the capacity building and technology support that we provide to countries. As many of you know, both the Secretary General of the United Nations and many of its chief executives have over the last few years given great priority to the issue of food security. We realize both on the basis of the empirical evidence available to us and the increasing global food insecurity phenomena that we observe, that this is a challenge that is not going to be addressed only at national or local level, nor is it a challenge that can only be addressed by those who are in the front line of producing food. Our agricultural economy, our food production economy, is today faced by a number of very significant and increasingly serious challenges. On the one hand, the sustainability challenge, where we have to recognize that in a world of soon 9-10 billion people, the projections that are currently driving our scenarios for the amount of food that needs to be produced by the year 2050 clearly are putting us into a position where we have to answer some very fundamental questions. Is the kind of agricultural technology, the agricultural production systems being deployed today, are they really still compatible with the notion of sustainability that at its essence has to answer the question of whether the way that we produce food and that the way we continue to expand our agricultural footprint is ultimately beginning to undermine the very factor of production on which we rely, the world's soils, the world's water resources, and the associated elements, be it soil fertility, or be it indeed the productivity functions, where we are also observing that the kinds of increases that drove agricultural production through the last 50 to 100 years are increasingly flattening off, and simply assuming that technology will allow us to make the next big leap is not as self-evident as some might have assumed even a few years ago. The second challenge is the resilience challenge, the phenomenon of environmental change that we observe today from climate change, loss of biodiversity, the fact that by the year 2020 there will perhaps be already 30% of the world's population living in water-stressed conditions, countries, and therefore also agricultural production contexts, are just a couple of phenomena that clearly have to inform the way we look at the future of agriculture and therefore also the challenge of global food security. It is becoming quite evident that with the environmental change phenomena that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has once again over the last 12 months provided the world, it signifies a level of stress that we will face both at the production end where farmers operate, but also in the global food markets, which are so sensitive to extreme weather events, be they droughts or floods, that may sometimes literally lead through an extreme weather event in one part of the world that is critical to the world's grain markets, triggering a price explosion or change in the rest of the world, and therefore virtually overnight de facto pricing millions of people out of their basic food access and food markets. How are we going to factor these changes into an already challenged agricultural economy from the sustainability perspective, while at the same time having to accommodate these factors that some of them well known to us and others as yet unknown or at least difficult to model in scenarios? I believe that much of the work that is being led both by the academic and scientific community, by the research and development constituencies within the private sector, but also by public policymakers and governments, clearly need to come to some very new answers and responses. From the perspective of a United Nations Environment Programme, we believe that we can contribute a significant part of the knowledge, or at least a piece of this puzzle that needs to be reconstituted in order to be able to move forward. It is the understanding that as we, with a global footprint of soon 10 billion people, bring more pressure and also more demand on the natural resources, on the natural capital of our economies, we need to begin to not only work on a function that maximizes agricultural production, but rather that recognizes the need for optimizing how an agricultural production system embedded in an ecosystem, in an economic system, and also in a social system has to evolve. Clearly, much of the work in recent years with scientific knowledge that has become available to us allows us to better understand how we can conserve and sustainably manage soils, how we can become more efficient and effective in using the water resources available to us, and also how the cumulative impact of an increasingly technology and chemically driven agriculture is able to be reconciled with the impact that it has on environment and on communities. This easily also extends, and this is part of why the sustainable development approach is so critical, into the social and economic dimensions. There is a significant agricultural production economy, particularly of small-scale farmers, that may find itself excluded from the opportunities that technology and science seem to suggest in terms of addressing global food security. There are also the impacts and the so-called environmental externalities of our agricultural production system that are no longer negligible. Indeed, we already observe today in many of the world's oceans and coastal zones the so-called dead zones, the deoxygenated zones that often are related to the kind of chemical pollution that goes from the runoff in agricultural production areas through rivers into the oceans. How can we factor these elements into a rethinking an agricultural production economy, but also how can we reconcile the economic parameters of an agricultural marketplace with the environmental sustainability realities that are increasingly going to define both constraints and opportunities? I would simply like to share a few of these perspectives with you today and also to point towards some of the critical work that is happening within the United Nations family, particularly through the work that the Food and Agriculture Organization, IFAD, and also the World Food Programme are core constituents in our UN family, but also some of the more specific work that, for instance, we in the United Nations Environment Programme are contributing to this global conversation. For instance, at this moment in time, we are together with many partners across the world commissioning a new TEEB report. It builds on the methodology of the economics of ecosystems and biodiversity approach that has gained much traction and interest in recent years in trying to bring the scientific knowledge and understanding about ecosystems and biodiversity into an interface with the economic realities and also the economic policies and frameworks with which we operate our economies, including the agricultural production sector. Indeed, one of the biggest findings in this work has been that much of the services that are provided by ecosystems are often not even factored into our systems of national accounting. The productivity that nature provides, or the productive factors that nature provides for our societies and economies, are often valued at zero. They seem to be free goods and commodities. And as we know in our modern economic system, something that has a zero value is also used accordingly and therefore exploited, and very often leading to unsustainable exploitation. The TEEB for Agriculture study that is now underway is one attempt to look at the global reality of food production and to try and bring a better understanding, both analytical and with a perspective in terms of policy implications, as to how we can not continue to operate in two different universes. The reality of how the economics of food production will drive both policy choices and the realities for literally hundreds of millions of people is inextricably linked also to answering the question of how we can produce the amount of food that is needed while maintaining the natural capital and the productive capacity of our environment in order to meet the food needs of a population in 2050 and beyond. Let me also point to another factor that is important when we talk about the future of global food security, but also of agricultural production. We live in an age where we have this extraordinary phenomenon that more than 30% of everything we grow and produce every year is lost, either lost between farm and marketplace, or is literally wasted at the point of consumption. Close to one-third of everything that we produce is therefore never consumed. This is an extraordinary phenomenon at a time when we are actually confronted with a food security challenge that demands of us to increase global food production by 50, 60, perhaps 70% over the next 40 years. In response to this challenge, we launched a couple of years ago a global awareness campaign with the Food and Agriculture Organization, UNEP, and many other partners that had the name of Think, Eat Safe, Reduce Your Global Footprint, trying to draw the attention of both the public, the consumers, but also public policymakers, businesses, including agricultural production companies, hotel chains, supermarkets, to try and take this issue of reducing this food waste and food loss as a high priority. It points to the fact that our food market, our global food economy, is not operating at its optimum. It sends at least confusing signals. It sometimes sends perverse signals into both the production end of global food production or the consumer end. And I end with one example and one illustration that perhaps speaks also to the enormous potential that a conference such as yours, the academic, scientific, and research community, could take up. The era in which we could simply expand agricultural production through traditional intensification and the horizontal expansion of bringing ever more land into agricultural production has probably surpassed its peak already. The question is, can we reinvent some of the economic incentives that would allow also new technology and new scientific solutions to be developed? The incentive for many of the companies and corporations and also commercial scenarios that are today driving research in terms of agricultural production may not always be aligned with the future challenges of rethinking agricultural production from a sustainability and resilience perspective. Indeed, if you take, for instance, the phenomenon that we produce seeds that farmers increasingly have to buy every year, have to plant, they have to till the soils, the whole investment chain that is involved in producing food may also point towards the need of looking at, for instance, the question of perennial food crops. What is it that in over 100 years of modern agricultural research has led us to literally walk away from where nature has often provided us with at least pointers towards solutions for an intensification and also greater efficiency curve in agricultural production? The incentives for the private sector and market-led research agenda is largely not pointing in any way towards looking at this phenomenon of perennial food crops as at least one opportunity to reduce both the investment costs of producing food, reducing our carbon footprint that is involved in the very intense tillage and land management that is involved in perennial food crops, and therefore poses the question to all of us, what kind of incentives do we in our economies, but also vis-a-vis the research and development agenda and constituents in the private sector, and ultimately the farming community, provide in order to perhaps look into new directions for agricultural production, intensification, but also greater sustainable agricultural production. The ecosystems perspective and the ecosystems approach that we have promoted increasingly actively in recent years is therefore an attempt to not only answer the question of global food security from a production and quantity point of view, but to try and begin to understand that in essence what we are talking about is literally an entire agricultural economy embedded in a natural resource reality and also in a socio-economic reality of who will produce our food in the future. We very much look forward to, again this year in McGill, having many of the world's leading experts look at some of these issues and provide to us in the international policy arena both pointers and directions and guidance as to where we should focus our attention in order to come up with better answers than we perhaps have done over the last 50 to 100 years. Yes, we have lived through an extraordinary age of increasing agricultural production and productivity, but increasingly the challenge of sustainability, of resilience, and also of the quantitative challenge of feeding a population of 10 billion people with an increasing consumption footprint is something that begs for many questions and answers to be addressed. Thank you once again for inviting me to join by means of this short address, and I look forward to receiving the results and outcomes and the inspiration from your meeting once you have completed your session at McGill. Thank you.